Cannonball Podcast Network.
Recording not live from League Safe's world headquarters, this is Fantasy Football Almost Daily.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the divisional round edition of Fantasy Football Almost Daily. This is Matt Harrison along with Scott Fish. And oh my God, it's Brian Johnson.
All I'm here to do is pod and joke.
I like that you just like passed over me like, Scott Fish is here, but we got Brian Johnson.
Well, how about this?
I have dozens of people clamoring
for me. Scott Fish is back. Scott Fish is back. It is January 10th. His beautiful wife had a young baby boy on January 1st.
Yeah, yep.
Little Mac.
Yep, a lot of January birthdays.
He's got star power, I hear.
Yes, he's amazing. I love that little guy.
Where are the cigars, bro? You're supposed to bring in cigars, right?
Oh, I don't smoke cigars.
Me neither, but I'd smoke one for you.
I'll go figure it out. We'll
I'd
see.
Throw up for you, Scott.
Nice.
It sounds like a Bruno Mars song.
Could I?
I'd throw up for you?
I'd throw up all over for you.
I should have at least brought in some good whiskey.
There you go. There's always time for that.
There's still time for that, for
sure.
By
the way, if anyone can tell me or guess the reference of the pod and joke reference there.
All I want to do is pod and joke.
I will send them, I will snail mail an obscure prize. I came across an Al Toon autographed football card. So if you tweet me where that's from, I will snail mail you.
It's in terrible condition.
An Al Toon. And he was on the Jets. And I was at the game where he broke the most games, consecutive games with the catch. At the time, I'm sure it's been broken since then.
Al Toon played for the Wisconsin Badgers, I believe, way, way back in the day
as well.
I
think you're right. And so did his son, right?
Yeah.
Nick Toon. But anyway.
Nick Toon.
Cool tunes.
What are we doing here again?
Cool tunes, brah.
Talking babies and Al Toon.
Yeah, so the setup for today's podcast is, as usual, we're going to go through the Fanball slate of the salary cap game. Obviously, there's four games, Atlanta, Philly, Tenney. Yeah, if you put those together, it's Tenney, Tennessee at New England, Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, New Orleans and Minnesota. We're going to go through those.
There's only really two games worth talking about.
There might be only two games worth talking about
from a fantasy perspective.
And then we're going to bring in one of our lesser known writers on Fanball, Matt Steichen, who if you guys are in the Twin Cities, you might have read some of his stuff in the Star Tribune. He was the guy who wrote the big St. Michael Albertville Maple Grove playoff game where Maple Grove scored three touchdowns in a minute.
Yeah, he got a Deadspin famous.
Yeah,
he got
Deadspin famous for that. So Stike's going to come in and he's going to be the fourth man in our draft when we go to the draft scenario. But let's start with the salary cap stuff. And I suggested we go position by position, but Brian seems to think that there's two games we don't even need to talk about. So maybe we do it that way.
I think we should go game by game.
Here. All right, let's go game by game. The first game that we don't need to talk about, I believe, is Atlanta at Philadelphia, correct?
False.
What?
Really?
You guys don't like... No.
We'll get, interesting.
You're not using anyone in Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, maybe Fournette will get there, and New Orleans, Minnesota. You got to avoid these games, I'm telling you.
But okay. You're avoiding Sunday.
Yeah.
You're avoiding Sunday
avoiding
altogether.
Sunday
That's
altogether.
Really interesting.
All my eggs would be in the Saturday basket.
When you said that, I was curious which two games it would be.
All right. Well, let's start with Atlanta and Philly. I filled out a couple of lineups this morning for our internal games. I found myself drawn to two things in this game for sure. Number one, the Eagles' defense is $3,100. They're one of the cheaper ones. They're the cheapest home team defense. Matt Ryan's known for throwing up three picks in like 4 seconds. And I just think that, yeah, Carson Wentz is gone, but this defense didn't miss a beat. So I think that they're extremely underpriced and kind of a value.
Yeah, they could be. And then again, remember on Fanball, scoring isn't taken into account.
Yeah.
Points
it's
allowed.
Just,
so
yeah.
Even like they might give up a lot. We don't care about how many points they give up. But yeah, they are under owned. But I don't know how many sacks Matt Ryan is known for three picks in 4 seconds, really?
When did I think that it was happen? He had three picks in four plays, I believe.
When? This year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I think it was one of the national games. I think it was New Orleans, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, I mean, really, I don't mind just putting a defense in with a four-game slate because you want to pay up for as many players as possible. And pricing is a little tight on FanBall, unlike the other sites that are catering to the Sharks big time. You can put anyone in your lineup on the other guys. It's kind of a joke. So you got to work a little harder here in FanBall. But I don't know.
So of the bottom defenses,
why are you kicking off with a defense?
I think that was one of the like supreme values I found out of like everything in the whole list right now. And Tennessee's 28, New Orleans is 3,000, Eagles are 3,100. I think they're the no brainer of the defense if you're really going to punt the defense. Like I think that's the only one I'd go with. I don't want to go with Tennessee. I don't think I would want to go with the Saints, but.
I would go with Tennessee. I think they have a better chance to rack up some sacks. I mean, Atlanta is bottom five in quarterback. How many times Ryan is sacked per game at 1.5? That's not a ton. And I think Atlanta's just going to grind these guys out, too. And it's just going to be a long day for the Eagles on both sides.
When you guys start your lineups, I tend to start with the D.
Really?
Yeah, because I just want to get it out of the way.
I do the D somewhere in the middle to see how much money I think I'll have left.
Yeah.
It depends on the size of the slate. I'm with you on a full slate. I usually go defense first, but – either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, you're between 4,000 and 3,000 on FanBall, but I can't hate on the Phillies defense. Can we talk about actual players?
Okay,
but,
well,
you don't like Ertz this week. Let's go to players.
Hold on, because I have a match with the Eagles defense, and it's Jay Ajayi. Jay Ajayi matched up with the Eagles defense, and hoping the Eagles keep this one.
And hoping that
low scoring, high run volume. Ajayi's only 6,300. I think that he can beat the Atlanta defense. I'm not too scared about the Atlanta defense. And, yeah.
Yeah, well, Ajayi is still the pass-catching back on that team. It's not Corey Clement. It's not LeGarrette Blunt, obviously. And,
Ajayi's the only one you can start.
Only one, yeah. And he's, what, 6,200? He's a good value. But, and, you know, his playing time's gone up every week in his touch total.
Yeah, but you do have to kind of just hope that they were saving him for the playoffs. He is fully practicing. He's fully healthy now. 14 carries a game last three. But, I mean, the Falcons haven't allowed – they've allowed one rushing touchdown since week 9. That's
– Yeah, so it's more the pass-catching angle for me. Ajayi, he's been criminally underused as a pass catcher in his NFL career, but he can
especially considering what he did at Boise State.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, yeah, I do like Ajayi. He's the cheapest, quote-unquote, bell cow. He's not a bell cow. We can't ring the bell for him quite yet. But I do like the Ajayi play. This could be the week, but yeah.
I really should have loaded up the sound effects machine again for you, Brian.
I know.
So you could go.
I feel a little naked without
the bell and
even
then
though
the moo.
I am naked right now. I feel even nakeder without the sound effects. But yeah, let's talk about Ertz.
You can start three tight ends on FanBall, and the tight end slate here is terrible. There's Gronk and there's Ertz and. Rudolph is still a little injured, even though, you know, he's okay for this week. I don't know.
Yeah, Ertz would come in as the seventh highest-priced wide receiver after Stephon Diggs. He's certainly, you know, been putting up wide receiver-like numbers, wide receiver one-like numbers for most of the year. That was with Carson Wentz at the helm, though. I don't know. Remind me, what's he been doing with Foles? Under center.
He's got 6 for 56 and 1 against the Giants, but that's the Giants.
All three games, his numbers are good.
He had 9 for 81 against the Raiders. He had 2 catches for 24 yards against Dallas.
The Falcons have only allowed 4 tight end touchdowns all year. That's bottom 3-4 in the league. Let's see. I'm not seeing anyone.
Just one tight end over 60 yards.
One tight end over 60 yards. And, of course, it was Charles Clay with 112.
There isn't a good matchup here. I think every single team in the playoffs except for one was top 15 against tight ends. Every single one except for one. So 7 of 8.
If I'm going to pay up for a tight end, though, I'm paying up for Gronk. Because
yeah.
Well, no, the Patriots have saved
Ertz
Gronk.
Is like 1,200 less.
They haven't had Gronk go across the middle almost all year except for the Pittsburgh game. They're saving Gronk. For the playoff run.
I want Gronk in my lineups, too.
But I don't want Ertz. I don't want to pay up for Ertz, considering how weird tight end is mm-hmm. in this slate. I don't want Walker. I don't really want Rudolph. If I'm going
Walker's
anything else,
no
I'm going cheap.
Well, that's the beauty of DFS, man. You want the players that nobody wants. That's how you win the big bucks.
Yeah.
So I like Ertz as a contrarian play. Yeah. He's a tournament play for sure. He's not a cash game play. It's not a sure thing, but... He put up good numbers. I think you just went over it again. But, yeah, I'm looking at that Oakland game, 9 for 81. He's going to be a target hog in this game.
Yeah.
When
I think Foles will look
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a ton of three
outs
for Philly.
If Nick Foles can complete a pass.
Yeah, we'll all be Folesing.
It is pretty bad.
Folesing on the floor laughing.
One note on Jeffrey. I think his price is a little too high, but Atlanta's allowed 5 straight wide receivers to have 100 yards or score. Almost all of them scored, in fact. So number one wide receivers are getting some points on Atlanta.
Yeah, they got solid corners there, but no one's going to start Foles. That is like that's for the sharps on DK who are going to have 150 lineups. They'll do every single possible scenario you can think of. But yeah, you don't want to touch.
No,
I don't need to tell you that. Let's go to Atlanta though.
Yeah,
talk about a lot of fun. I think it's clearly a game where you can I don't like the top price running backs a whole lot. I would gladly start both Atlanta backs in this one. I think they're going to lean on the run here because they're not going to need to throw a lot, I don't think. So I'm totally fine with throwing Freeman and Coleman in the same lineup and just hoping that they split 30 carries.
You're avoiding Julio? You're avoiding Julio?
Not avoiding Julio, no, not by any means. But
it is worth noting, if you're worried about the Atlanta going to a cold weather climate, that the game time temperature is supposed to be 56 degrees. Mm-hmm. So it's not a factor in this game.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they'll be okay without Megatron's butthole above their head. I just love that. I got to find out who coined that term because it's so good.
It's from Deadspin.
Did you see Trump was admiring the butthole on Monday at the national championship?
Ooh.
He was sitting next to Arthur Blank and he's like, whoa, touch that. No, anyway, where were we?
Oh, this is why I miss Brian
Jones,
from the podcast.
8,800. I think it's worth considering paying up for, but 4 straight wide receivers, last 4 wide receivers against Philly, last 4 top wide receivers against Philly, averaging over 90 yards, 2 of them over 100, all 4 of them scored.
Yeah.
But Julio's not a big touchdown guy, so.
He is in the playoffs, though. He didn't score last week, though, did he?
He did.
Nope. He did.
No, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yep. Last postseason, he had some monster performances. So, yeah, I certainly like Julio, too. If I had
high.
To choose between the running game and the passing game, I would lean on the dual back situation there. But, yeah, it's bizarre. Philly is ranked 7th against wide receiver ones by Football Outsiders. But, yeah, allowing over 70 yards a game, I don't know how that really works out. But
yeah, the last 4 have been really
Yeah, I would pay for Julio over Antonio Brown all day long. We'll get to that game in a little bit. But, and, you know, Matt Ryan, I think – somewhat of a safe play. I think his ceiling's capped. I think Philly's going to struggle to score here. So what's the over-under in this game? 44, 45?
Let me get a look.
That Atlanta defense has just been lights out the last month. They've been playing great. So it's all about – I like the Atlanta defense, you know, just picking on Foles.
I have
then,
41 and a half.
41. Yep. Wow. So I like the Atlanta backs and the Atlanta defense for me in this game, but I would throw a dart at Ajayi just because he's cheap, and I could see some decent third down work out.
And he's amazing.
Yeah. If you did not know, Scott Fish is the biggest Jay Ajayi fan. I'm number 2. I'm in the top 10.
He gave me a shout out. We should put it right in the podcast right here.
Jay Ajayi gave you a shout out?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, it was, what was it, August? Yeah. Got an
I like how you're looking at me for oh,
please
to pinpoint
tell
the,
me
no,
when Jay Ajayi
no,
was talking to me.
We were still at the pitch, yeah.
Okay.
I got an audio message. A buddy of mine works for Sky Sports, and audio message of Jay Ajayi giving me a shout-out, thanking for all the support and stuff.
No, I heard that. That's awesome. That is really cool. Everybody loves Scott Fish.
No.
Yeah.
They do.
If they don't, then they're an idiot. All right. Next game?
Next game is Tennessee at New England.
Garbage time. Give it all to me.
Since I got this pulled up, this is 47.5 over-under in this game. That's the largest over-under. And the expected point total for New England, because they're 13.5-point favorites, is huge. They're going to score a ton of points. Is it just Pat Stack for you all day long?
It's Pat Stack, and then it's garbage stack. I'm all – this is the game that you want, in my opinion. I mean – Yeah.
So how do you well, you start with Tom Brady, but then what do? You go Brady Gronk,
Cooks. I honestly try to like get as many of the high priced guys in, and I will put in zeros in my lineup if I can get those big names in against this Tennessee secondary. And Tennessee is the only remaining playoff team allowing more than 20 offensive points per game. The secondary sucks, and Brady doesn't, Gronk doesn't, Brandon Cooks sucks sometimes, but he's not going to suck on Saturday. So, yeah, stack the Pats. And then on the other side of the coin, I mean, the opportunities are going to be there in garbage time for Tennessee. So I would play Mariota. I like Matthews as the highest priced receiver. Decker, Davis, anyone I can slot
Decker
in.
Decker got the touchdown last
Decker
week.
Decker got the touchdown. He, you know, he's at 47, I believe, 4,700, 48. But, yeah, this is the
game
for
me. Had a huge drop, too. Big drop, Decker.
I mean, the one guy I would think about.
Oh, no, it's not big drop.
I like that. Nice. That was a big drop. So there's all drops are big in PPR, right?
But Derrick Henry, he's highly priced, and – they're going to get behind, so I don't know how, you know, I wonder if they'll go away from him. But every single time he's had over 15 touches this year, he's had well over 100 yards and a touchdown in every single one.
No other
like
back.
You feed him and he gets it.
Yeah, no other back saw the field for the Titans, I believe, last week. It was all Henry. They didn't, obviously Murray was out, but they didn't have someone. They didn't have their third.
They have David
name?
Flewellen, but he played some special teams, but I don't remember him getting it.
I think Henry got every carry, every target for the running back. So
we're still looking at DeMarco Murray as probably out.
Yep.
He's very doubtful. Did not practice on Tuesday.
Same with that New England side.
So, yeah, the volume's there for Henry for sure, and the contrarian angle should be there as well because people expect Tennessee to fall behind.
So
and
the game script for this, for the Titans, is Derrick Henry over and over and
run the ball
again,
and keep New England off the field.
Keep New England off the field and try to keep this game to well hitting the under. Like, it's got to be like a 14-9 victory
and
for Tennessee to win.
To deflate the footballs even more than the Patriots have deflated them in the past.
That ESPN,
so Brady cannot throw the ball because he is going to shred that secondary.
Do you factor in the ESPN Wickersham article as
you'll have to keep the
something that the Patriots will
the Patriots don't need bulletin
rally around
board material.
I don't know. They seem to love it though. Like they seem to come out and just blow up whenever stuff like that hits though.
Yeah.
But
they don't mind distraction.
Just so people know, Gillis Lee's still missing practice. James White and Rex Burkhead are limited in practice.
Leaving Deion Lewis as
like the other week.
Probably the dude.
Yeah.
He's at 7,800, we should mention. I should also mention the guys that you would be stacking. Brady 82, Lewis 78, Cook 78, Gronk 81.
I think that pretty much
saps up all of your money
mostly
if you're going to go a four-man.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the Voltron.
Don't forget my fellow Monmouth County, New Jerseyan, Chris Hogan. Well, I think he just went to college there. I don't think he was from there. But anyway, he's coming back, and I love me some Chris Hogan, so he's a cheaper option if you don't want to pay up for Cooks.
You know,
what's the five-man stack, Brian?
Man, Jacob Hollister? No. Five-man. I know. Amendola is always quite reasonably priced. I think he's in at 4,200. I don't know. You could get a little dirty with Philip Dorsett, Kenny Britt. Hope for a a grimy touchdown out of them. But I don't know. I don't think you need to load up too much on the Pats. You just got to go Titans on the other side. And we didn't talk to Laney Walker, but he's the guy I would game stack here if I'm stacking mostly Pats. Last week, Jets tight – or well, 2 weeks ago in the Patriots' last game, Jets tight ends caught seven passes for 84 yards. Charles Clay was targeted 10 times the week before that against New England. So tight ends are involved against them. Walker looked great last week. So, yeah, I'm just all about this game. This is the game with the points. Just look what Vegas tells you and – there you have it.
You know, for a half a second, I want to go back to the last game on Mohamed Sanu.
Is that Daddy Mohamed Sanu or Baby Mohamed Sanu?
I think it's Baby and Daddy.
Okay.
Right? No, I don't remember. I think he's senior, right? Mohamed Sanu senior. Slot guys, Sterling Shepard, Doug Baldwin, and Cooper Kupp all in the last 5 or 6 weeks against Philly have all had just giant days.
We should not have glossed over
Sanu 6,600 for a slot guy that has been giving up some slot points. That's I just wanted to throw that in there before we move on.
No, yeah, he is definitely viable, and I think he's priced right up in the upper 6,000s, I believe, or maybe
6,600. I think
he's deserving of that. He's had a great year. So
you just want to play the Saturday only slate on FanBall, Brian?
Basically, and I mean you're playing the weekend.
You'll have no hammers.
No hammers. And there's no worse feeling than having no hammers.
I know.
I think this is the slate where you can be done on Saturday and still have a chance to win. That's what my gut tells me.
Moving on to the early game then. On Sunday, it's Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. Everybody's off Pittsburgh. Just because of the Jacksonville defense, but I got some data that
Ooh,
I pulled.
I love data.
From Jacksonville. Here are the quarterbacks they faced this year.
Yeah, it's
Tom
terrible.
Savage. They gave up 7 points.
Oh yeah. Oh no. I mean, oh no.
Let's be fair. That was half a game of Tom Savage.
That's
and
true.
Half a game of
Deshaun Watson.
D. Watts.
Marcus Mariota. Week two, they gave up 37 points to him. Then they faced Joe Flacco, held him to 7. Josh McCown, they lost and gave up 23 to McCown. Roethlisberger in week 5.
All these points allowed, I guarantee, were Bordeaux Body's fault, though.
Maybe.
It wasn't the defense. I'm pretty sure they probably picked off. Anyway.
So Roethlisberger's impressive. They only gave up 9. The other one that's impressive is Philip Rivers. They gave up 17. But the other guys, Goff, they gave up 27 to. Brissett, not impressive to give up 0 to him. Dalton, 7. Kaiser, 7. Blaine Gabbert scored 27 points against this
team. All right, well, he's playing Roethlisberger, right? Let's focus on that game. They won 30-9, picked him off, what, 5 times in Pittsburgh?
But we're also 2 games removed from Jimmy Garoppolo hanging 44 on the Jaguars.
Yeah, but Jimmy Garoppolo is amazing.
Jimmy Garoppolo is amazing.
And
we should go grab Charges here. We should go grab him and ask him how amazing Jimmy Garoppolo
is. Ben Roethlisberger is playing better than he was at the beginning of the season. He's more healthy right now than he was at the beginning of the year. I don't see why you would. I think they're going to be low owned, as you said, Brian. You don't like this game.
No, I think
people are going to avoid Jacksonville altogether, and Pittsburgh at home. What have we been saying on this DFS podcast for years? If Pittsburgh's at home, you do one Pittsburgh stack out of your lineups at least.
Yeah, I've always kind of contested that theory because those numbers are skewed by like an 8 touchdown game and like a 6 touchdown game like 2 years ago.
But that's exactly what could happen.
Fine. Lowest lowest over under of the week, by the way, guys.
Yeah, it was 30-9. When they first met.
I know.
The 9 is what we're focused on here.
I think it could be 30-9 the other way.
You have the stats up. Ben had something like 5 picks in that game, right? Something ridiculous.
But yeah, no, you're right. The Steelers are contrarian.
Yeah.
If you know me, I love it.
But
the
Steelers are contrarian as a home team.
I know.
Against Blake Bortles.
I know.
Come on. it's like the stars are aligning.
Okay, so Bortles. Not going to do anything.
No. So it's 30-9 the other way.
Okay, but Pittsburgh's not going to need to pile up the points, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
So, well, let's talk about the guys in this game. Le'Veon Bell's 9,800, the most expensive player on the slate this week. To me, I think he's obviously the best running back on the slate. I think he's almost a no-brainer, even at the top price.
Fish, weigh in on that.
Jacksonville is not as good against the run as they are against the pass.
See, I think
Antonio Brown, pretty iffy still at best. They might not want to have Juju going against Jalen Ramsey. They might not like that matchup as much. Let's run Le'Veon Bell 35 times in this game.
I can see that. I can see it. I can see it happening. It's tough though. I'm more on Brian's side in that I don't know how much of this game I want. Like if this had like a 14 game slate, I'd be like, let's
perfect.
Skip this game. But
I am putting this stack together in our internal contest. Nobody's gonna have it.
So
I'm gonna walk away victor.
You were talking about all the points allowed by Jacksonville, and this is with that 44 that was hung on them by future Hall of Famer Jimmy Garoppolo. Jacksonville first in offensive points allowed per game.
Yeah.
14.8. 14.8 at home and 14.8 on the road. That's pretty consistent.
Yeah, that is.
Let me repeat. Tom Savage, Joe Flacco, Josh McCown, Jacoby Brissett.
Kind of like the Saints,
Andy Dalton,
too.
Deshaun Kaiser, Jacoby Brissett, TJ Yates. Like, these are the guys that they were going against and giving up 7 or 0 points. Like, when they go against a good quarterback, even a moderately good quarterback... They were giving up points.
I will jump on your side with one more thing here that it's more of a thing than I think some people dismiss it. Other people factor it in. Pittsburgh, they're a playoff team. They know the playoffs.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, for a lot of them, this is This is fresh territory.
They're battle tested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, 66% of the public is hammering the under on this game.
Oh yeah, get in while it's at four. I don't. I can't believe it's.
It's at 41 now.
That's crazy talk. Total crazy talk.
But, so if they're hammering the under, that over under is going to go lower.
Yes.
I'll take the over.
You're gonna win.
If it got down to like 39, oh, definitely I'd take the over, for sure. Pittsburgh's gonna throw 39 on them all by themselves.
Take the over and tease it. Throw a little.
Blake
more
Bortles is going to throw 3 touchdown passes to Pittsburgh this game. Yeah.
Wow. All
right, let's talk.
So you want Pittsburgh's defense? Then.
I do. I'm putting Pittsburgh's defense in. They're 4,000. They're the most expensive defense. I'm building my lineup with Le'Veon Bell and Pittsburgh's defense. I might even throw Roethlisberger in there, too. I'm probably avoiding Antonio Brown, though, just because I don't know what I'm getting.
Hmm. Well, why not Martavis Bryant? Juju?
I do like Martavis. Schuster is only 7,000. I think that's a pretty good value as far as guys who are looked at in this slate as legit wide receiver one options right now.
Yeah, and if Brown tweaks anything, especially if they have a lead.
So I almost want Brown to not tweak anything.
Yeah.
And I want Brown to be the decoy in this game so I can go Schuster and Bryant and have that.
Nice. Interesting stack. I'm excited to see how that works out for you.
Yeah, me too. I'm putting it in.
Please run a train with that one in the internal context.
I got it. Le'Veon, Schuster, Bryant, Steelers. I'm going to put in Roethlisberger too.
Man. It's a good thing you can host well.
Let's talk about the game that Brian wants to.
No, we got to talk Jacksonville
here. We got to still talk about this. I mean, there's.
Well, okay. Are we going to move over to Jacksonville? Because
we're not. We're going to stay on Pittsburgh the rest of the show.
Wow, Fournette crushed Pittsburgh last time they played, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but that was September, October Fournette, who was good. And November, December, Fournette has not been good.
No. I'm going to crap all over that.
For sure.
Pittsburgh had Ryan Shazier back then. Without Ryan Shazier, the Steelers have allowed 6 rushing touchdowns to running backs over the last 4 games. Back then, when Fournette shredded Pittsburgh, his snap percentage was under 60% from weeks 1 to 12. Over his last 5 games, his snaps are nearly 80%, his snap count. So that's a big jump. And it's the same plan that Tennessee's going to have. How is Jacksonville going to win this game?
Keep Pitt
they
off the
are
field.
Going, yeah, they're going to try and run Fournette ragged, and they're going to hope their defense can stop Pittsburgh, which they have a very good chance of doing. They've done it before. So I do like Fournette paired with Jacksonville defense in this one.
And based on the first half last week, we don't want Bortles passing
no,
if we're the Jags.
No, not at all. So no Bortles, no wide receivers. Just can't do it. Maybe Mercedes Lewis because he's cheap.
What's cool?
I want to crap on your Fournette angle here.
Cole at 4,800 is a good deal, though.
Shut up. I'm crapping on a point.
All right.
Since the bye and he sat out in weeks 7, 8, 9, 1.9 yards per carry, 3.9, 2.0, 2.8, 4.2, 2.6, 3.6.
Yeah, he's top 3 in facing stacked boxes. That's why his O-line has done him no help. But Pittsburgh defense without Shazier, it's like the Cowboys without Sean Lee. It's pretty civ-like. So that's fine.
He didn't face a murderer's row of defenses either along this.
Where do you feel the ownership on Fournette will be this week?
Bigger tournaments.
High, low, regular.
No, 15 to 20%. I think more people will still.
I'm thinking like 0% if they listen to me.
Oh.
People will still be all about Bell. Bell Freeman, Deion Lewis, which does not. No, he's not going to be a top 3 in terms of highest ownership percentage. That's why I like him even more. So Fournette, Jacksonville D.
Okay.
Jaguars with the upset. Let's
you wanted to talk wide receivers.
Well, the only one I said is just Cole. He's just been so consistent with targets. That 4,800 for that kind of price. It's a tough matchup, It's just one of those
I would
shots.
Like to note that this is a points per target scoring system.
There it is.
Because Blake Bortles, obviously one of my favorite players, has been so good at getting those targets into people's hands.
Nice.
Come on.
Nice.
He is so bad. God.
He is so bad.
I know. I know we all know this. The Bordo potty. Let's not talk about him anymore.
New Orleans is at Minnesota.
Really? I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't notice.
You didn't know what's going on with that last game?
Living in Minnesota, people are excited about this?
I'd say.
Just a little bit.
45 and a half or 45, depending on which book you're looking at for the over-under in this game. Second highest, only a point or two behind New England, Tennessee.
Most you guys will remember, most might not, but the Vikings absolutely destroyed the Saints in week one a long, long time ago.
It was a 10-point destruction, though.
We should note Marshawn Lattimore's first game as an NFL player,
right,
too.
And Alvin Kamara's.
And Sam Bradford's last game, really.
Trying to force Peterson the ball seven times.
Times have changed, so we can't glean too much from that game. But two great defenses, though, going up against each other again. Indoors, of course, but I don't know.
Are the Saints a great defense?
I won't say great, but they're pretty good.
There's a lot of really bad quarterbacks they face this year.
It's true.
And they gave up 300 yards and multiple touchdowns to like seven different quarterbacks, I believe.
If you're going to stack either side of this game, what would you do?
I would probably go Vikes. Again, it's crazy. Most people, when they think of the Saints offense, they think of the running backs first. And I don't like either one here. Mark Ingram, he's kind of the more conventional first, second down back now, even though Alvin Kamara seemed to be on the field a lot more last week. But yeah,
Carolina seemed to figure out the recipe on how to at least slow down the running backs last week.
Yeah.
And something that Mike Zimmer wrote the cookbook on that already. So
The Vikings
are so good at that.
So good. Yeah. Well, and Jonathan Stewart, the only one to top 100 yards, and he inexplicably had three touchdowns, too. Yeah. That was half of the rushing touchdowns.
And Stewart got almost all of it on the first play of the game where he had an 80-yard run. Yeah. So
McCaffrey, Cohen, Kamara, game one. Chris Thompson, both Atlanta backs. Duke Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, none of them had over 50 yards receiving against us either.
Only two running backs have topped 50 receiving yards. Ironically, one was Mark Ingram, not Alvin Kamara, but that's because Kamara wasn't getting enough run in week one. And then, of course, Isaiah Crowell topped 50 receiving yards. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That was that 134-yarder or whatever.
But, yeah, I'm going to fade my boy Kamara in this one just because
it's not a good matchup.
And Ingram, he's going to need I don't know. He's a contrarian play now because his playing time was it was decreased big time last week. He's cheaper. But I don't know. Vikings, that place is going to be loud.
The Vikings haven't allowed more than 180 passing yards since week 12.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's going to be a tough game for the Saints.
Michael Thomas is going to be blanketed by Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah, he didn't have a great game against Xavier Rhodes in the first game, but he wasn't blanketed. Yeah. So that's why he actually had some okay numbers.
Trey Waynes actually looks like a legit NFL cornerback now.
Now, is it Xavier or is it Xavier?
Xavier.
Okay.
Xavier, yeah.
He said.
I said it wrong.
X-Xavier. But I think some people prefer
thanks for
the
pointing
X.
that out.
Well, that's how do you do it in your name?
I don't know. It's my unofficial confirmation name.
Yeah.
Should I do the quick story of the X real quick?
Yeah. Sure.
If whoever's Roman Catholic out there, you have to be when you're confirmed. You have to pick the name of a saint, and there's this book of what all these saints have done. And I hated this, right? So I'm sorry. I picked Xavier, and I had to explain why. No, it's because he cured. Blah, blah. I don't know what he did, but I said I like. This is 1992 ish. I'm I like Xavier McDaniel on the Knicks, and. Professor X and the nun or whoever did not like that. The end.
And then that's Saint Professor X, right? Yep.
Anyway, everyone's turned that off. But what were we talking about? Football.
So let's go over to the Viking side of the ball. Is there value in Latavius at $7,000? In that this is the dawning of the age of Latavius.
I see so many people disagreeing over if it's a Murray week or a McKinnon week. And with stuff like this, I think McKinnon could be a decent pass catching option, but I'm going to take the guy who is top five in red zone touches, top five in inside the 10 touchdowns and inside the five touches.
Did you invent a stat? Tunchins?
Tunchins, yeah. Touches. No, they all three of those categories, he was top five. He just 10 zone and five zone.
Yeah.
Just,
the 10 zone, is the infrared zone.
I don't like that, my man.
Why? And the five is the ultraviolet zone.
But those are on opposite sides of the spectrum. I know. How does that even work?
Because it's like an Atari game. You go one, you go out one end of the screen, and then you pop back in the
other. Oh, there it is. I like that.
But yeah, I'm with you on that take, Fish. Murray over McKinnon. The Saints bottled up McCaffrey pretty well last week, even though he finished with a big box score. Yeah, he had that one long
reception
touchdown at the end. That put him over 100 yards receiving, so that's why he had such a solid day. But he was bottled up pretty good in that game. So I like the Murray. And I think because he's more expensive, I think his ownership percentage will be lower. So I like that call there. And real quick, back to the Saints. Josh Hill seems like the only tight end on the team. Great punt option at tight end if you need to. Not great, but
cheap.
Just cheap. So there you go.
$3,400, right?
Yep. Then, but speaking of tight ends, Greg Olsen lit up New Orleans last week. Kyle Rudolph. You got to go three tight ends.
You always got to go three.
That's what I love about fanball.
I don't think I'm going to have a lineup without Gronk. So
what
I'm paying that right there.
Thought of this three tight end
it's
idea.
A brilliant
I don't know.
Idea.
I know. But anyway, yeah.
Now, if you could only
Rudolph.
It was me, wasn't it?
Mm,
no.
Let's check the tape. After further review.
The nice thing about Rudolph, I mean, I know Rudolph said that he would have had trouble playing last week if there was a game, and the week before he scored that touchdown. He was out most of the game, and then he came in for that one play and scored that touchdown. That's some optimism there, even if he's, you know, limited in this, that he'll be possibly in some goal line packages.
Yep, I'm with you. And I know we said let's not talk about week one, but he did score in that week one game against New Orleans for what it's worth. So, yeah. Rudolph,
so did Fleener. Garbage time, though.
My boy. Our boy, Matt. Whatever happened to Fleener?
I got off the Fleener mobile long ago.
All right, so Thielen, Diggs, Keenum.
I like Thielen a little more than Diggs, even though the prices are basically the same.
Lattimore will probably be on Diggs.
Yeah, Lattimore. I saw Mike Clay from ESPN saying that he fully expects Lattimore to shadow the outside.
Yep, that makes perfect sense. And then, so I like Thielen there more. And that's why he is priced up higher. But again, I don't know. We're going to need vintage Drew Brees. We didn't even mention Drew Brees. We should probably circle back to him. But
who?
Yeah, I don't know. It's this guy.
Brees is 7,300. Keenum is 7,200, by the way. Whoever thought that these guys would be $100 apart in a salary cap DFS game.
But, again, I mean, I just don't like a ton of guys in this game just because I think it's going to be more of a defensive struggle than an
some sort of slobber knocker.
The Vikings have only allowed one passing touchdown in the last 5 weeks.
and
only seven quarterbacks top 200 yards. Drew Brees is an exception. He'll probably throw a touchdown. He'll probably pass that. I'm just saying this defense is good.
The Vikings bricked big time building an indoor stadium, but that place is loud, and that's going to be I think like the glass might shatter in that place. How loud it'll be. It's going to be a tough place to play.
Luckily, it's not like actual glass. It's like some sort of plasticky
sort of
crap.
Specialized bird killing material. Okay.
It's a bird killing machine.
Michael Thomas, I think, is worth paying up for even in this defense, though.
What?
He's had at least five catches in every game except for one. It doesn't matter the defense he plays, he gets five catches. I know if he's
so his five catches for 51 yards is going to be what you're paying up for?
It's
yeah.
That's a fair point, but I think he's going to do better than that.
Let's see here.
Five for 70. You got 12 points, Scott. Good job.
We'll see.
You put him in your lineup in the internal contest. Let's go. Come on.
I might. We'll see if he fits.
I got a lineup to spout off to you guys when you're ready.
The price for Thomas is really high for that. But, man, he's got five catches and at least 65 yards in 16 of his 17 games.
Yep. Looking at his game log.
So that's 11.5 minimum in 16 of 17 games.
Okay.
Possible.
Have fun with your 11.5, as I said.
I know.
looking at your possible shadows he's had this year, it was Rhodes in week one. He had 5 for 45.
Detroit. Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Detroit could have been taking the sleigh ride there, 3 for 11.
We didn't have to worry about a running game that week.
That's really about it. Washington, Josh Norman, he's a bum. He had 6 for 91.
I don't
Washington.
Think Ginn is worth it this week at all, by the way.
No?
Secondary receivers haven't topped 40 yards against the Vikings for like 7 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not.
And speed guys haven't been good against the Vikings either.
And you just mentioned how like nobody's got more than 120 yards or a touchdown against the Vikings through the air in like a month.
200.
Yeah. If you're compelled to use Drew Brees is always more enjoyable when naked. So you just
so
you
like things it, are swaying in the breeze.
Yes. You like a yeah. naked breeze.
Naked breeze. So you roll out Drew Brees. I wouldn't get cute and try to pair him, or certainly not stack Saints in this game. I think that's the
so
mistake.
Basically, you like Vikings and Falcons and Eagles, and then the other five teams can just go away.
Not Vikings. I like Tennessee,
Patriots.
New England.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You like the Saturday
game. You like okay. Saturday plus Vikings. So you might have a little hammer in your lineup.
Do oh. I like Vikings? I don't think I like so, too many Vikings.
Who's the, who would that little hammer be? Like McKinnon or something? It's got to be a small
tiny, tiny little
Diggs
man.
Diggs isn't very big.
Yeah.
Throw Diggs.
Lillehammer, are we talking 94 Olympics?
Nice. Deep pull.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because of the Itania movie. I kind of reignited that memory of where it was.
Nice.
Why? That would have been great if he used the Lillehammer in Lillehammer and not, what was it, like a pipe?
Yeah.
Come on. That's not creative at all.
No, that's like Clue.
Who's your quarterback this week? If you're from
I'm paying for Brady. I'm paying for one lineup. I'm paying for Brady. Three lineups. I'm paying for three Bradys. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I would put Brady.
If you have to go cheap, I don't mind Keenum as much.
I would go Mariota just on the garbage time, the rushing potential, and the potential that he throws another touchdown to himself. Certainly bankable.
New Orleans, as I mentioned.
That's 11 points without the yardage, right? 4-point pass, 6-point.
It was a
touchdown,
12-point play.
And 1 point for the reception.
Catch. Yep,
amazing.
It was pretty amazing. Hey, let's do a draft.
Let's do that. But I got to tell you my lineup because this
okay,
is
okay. Let's
awesome.
Draft
oh,
after
boy.
That.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger is my quarterback. Le'Veon Bell is my running back. Juju Smith-Schuster is my wide receiver. Martavis Bryant is my other wide receiver. The Pittsburgh defense is in there. Oh yeah, feel the steel. Wow. I also have Latavius Murray as my other running back, Kyle Rudolph in the wide receiver tight end position, Josh Hill, because I had to go cheap at tight end, and my flex is Rishard Matthews, hoping for a little garbage time there.
Yeah, wide receiver ones have done well against New England this year. The secondary has tightened up a little bit, but still.
Tightened?
There you go.
Yeah.
But no, it's going to be garbage time aplenty for Tennessee, one would think.
Hitting enter, submitting contest to Fanball internal lineup.
Thank you for your donation.
Yes. We're going to do a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with our four-man draft. Okay, we're back, and that was a Brian Johnson-approved item for you to purchase several of.
He loves those.
Yeah. So we drafted last week, and I wasn't in the room.
No.
The Brian Johnson team wasn't approved of and was getting made fun of.
That's true.
Why would he draft three tight ends? What an idiot. And then Brian Johnson just waxes you guys. By how many points, Matt?
Not that many.
I'm just kidding. I'm not that bitter about it. But I heard you guys were making fun of me.
We were making fun of you, openly.
Well, you shouldn't.
And we were saying, furthermore, that you don't listen to the podcast, so you'd never hear us making fun of you, so it made it even better.
I work hard for the money.
Well, we better treat you right.
All right.
Scott Fish got the number one straw in the draft.
Oh, I should probably.
I'm excited for this, by the way. This is a great draft slate. And if you haven't tried this, it is a ton of fun, so
yeah.
I'll just throw that
We're out. Doing a four-team draft, six players each team. I got the second pick. Brian got the third. Stike, hi.
Hi. Glad to be here.
This is Matt Steichen. He's one of our writers over at Fanball. I think I explained that earlier in the podcast.
I'm no T-Bone, but I'll do my best.
He's definitely no T-Bone. He's got the fourth and fifth pick in the draft. So, yeah, draft starts in 5 seconds. Fish, what you going to do?
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious.
And if you don't know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, two flex.
Oh, you got some horns going. I think that one was going to be pretty obvious.
Gronk.
Just to piss off Brian.
No, let's see. Let's see how much Matt loves Le'Veon Bell now.
He loves Le'Veon Bell now.
Number two. All right. Normally, wouldn't be drafting one of four quarterbacks with only
You're
gonna four
draft
people.
You're going to draft Brady
I'm
right off the bat?
Brady oh, right off the bat.
Wow.
Screw it.
He was going to be my next pick if he came down to it. So
oh, yeah.
He wasn't going to make it back. I can no. guarantee you that much.
All right. Stike, you're at pick number 4 and 5.
Well, you know what? The New England defense doesn't scare me. They're going to score some points. I will take
Derrick Henry.
Yep. And ooh. With the turnaround,
could
I'm going to
ballsy.
I'm going to double up on the running backs.
Kamara, Alvin Kamara, and Derrick Henry for Stike in his turn there.
All right, I was pumping up Fournette a little bit, but I got to go for the goal. Oh, man, this is a tough call. Probably shouldn't be thinking out loud too much. You know what? Let's just go. We're going big or going home. Brandon Cooks starting this Batman and Robin off. Brady Cooks.
Too many cooks. You know what? Julio's a gamer in the playoffs. I just got Julio Jones and Le'Veon Bell, top running back, top wide receiver. I'm feeling good. Feeling good, baby.
You would.
That's a great paper-looking team.
That is. On paper, I win every time.
Now I'm not even sure what I want to do.
I don't think that you should do anything.
Who will you pair with Gronk? What vodka?
I got an idea. Zach Ertz. And then another tight end.
Nope.
It's proven. It's Bryant's.
It's very
Bryant-tific.
I will
be stacking, though.
Deion Lewis.
I'm going to go with
Deion
Hey,
guess
Lewis.
What? You're up again.
Oh, look at that. What am I going to do again? Didn't even realize it. All right. I'm going to go with my best remaining wide receiver on the board, I think. Adam Thielen.
He's feeling some Thielen.
I'm feeling Thielen there.
I think the tight end position will get back to me. Unless now that I've said that out loud, Brian goes and takes two and Stike goes and takes two more.
Just so the people out there know, Matt is contemplating who to add with Le'Veon Bell and Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that sounds great on the mic.
That's good stuff right there. I'll go Ingram.
Ooh, the wrong running back. I'm going to take Fournette without Ryan Shazier. He has some hope here. The only way Jacksonville is going to have any chance of winning is if Blake Bortles is not allowed to pass.
I see Stike has not turned off his horn yet.
All right. I've got my running backs. I think the Vikings are going to score some points this weekend. So I'm going to take Stephon Diggs.
And you're up again.
That sound means you're up.
I like that sound. We're going to keep firing it up.
Obviously.
Nice.
And then, you know what? I think I can still wait on a quarterback, so I'm going to go with.
We're going to edit this.
Michael Thomas. Right?
Michael Thomas, you're just, yeah. You love all the tough matchups.
5 for 65.
Let's see here. Got no run. Oh, I do have running back. So I got Brady, Fournette, Cooks. I'm going to just hold off on running backs and wide receivers. Man, tough call. I'm going to go Devontae Freeman, actually. That's what we got to do.
All right. I like to deplete a player pool if I can. So I'm going to take,
you bastard,
Latavius Murray.
I got two in a row here. So I am going to take a guy who is practicing in fall, and I'm okay with it. I know it's a tough matchup. He's matchup proof. Antonio Brown in the 4-5.
Yeah. How often has that happened? Pretty nuts.
And then.
That might have just won him the draft right there.
That goes to show how confident you are in your Steelers stack that you didn't take Antonio Brown there, and you took who? Again, Tavius Murray.
Yeah, right. I'm banking on a low scoring Saints Vikings game. That's a run heavy one with Ingram and Murray.
I am looking for the exact opposite.
Yeah, Stikes, they're going to score points.
I'm going to go with what I think is at least 15 touches in JHI with my next pick.
Oh,
shocker!
That's a surprise.
Shocker! And I'm going to end up with a crap quarterback.
All right, so. Gronk, Deion, Thielen, Antonio, Ajayi for Fish. Matt on the clock with Bell, Julio, Ingram, and Murray.
Yeah, I need a quarterback and I need a tight end. It's going to leave me with probably the third best quarterback after it gets back to me. So I think I'm going to just take Zach Ertz and hope he gets a lot of touches.
I can't risk not getting one of the two big tight ends left on the board, sort of big. So I'm going to go with Delaney in the game stack, garbage time extraordinaire. You got to mute that, yo. We're podcasting here.
All right, so.
Be professional.
Yeah. Real
that
professional.
Sounds, that's a professional, professional sounding F. horn.
Okay.
Only the best on Fanball. You know what? I'm going to go with my mini Viking stack with Diggs and Case Keenum.
Ah, leaves me some interesting choices at the quarterback
and then
position.
On the turnaround,
me
to
too.
Complete
I'll take the one you don't.
My Saints-Vikings stack, if that game's 34-31, I'm going to be in good shape with Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, that Rudolph fell to you nicely there. Let's see. That's back to me.
I'm going to open up this really cool grid we have to take a look.
So I got Brady, Fournette, Cooks, Walker, Freeman. I need a flex. I don't have a true stack yet because I only have two Patriots. So bigger names on the board, Juju, Jeffrey, Sanu. But let's go Chris Hogan making his return. Complete that
limited
stack.
In practice, though.
He's going to play.
Okay.
Proof that it's good to wait until the last couple of picks to pick your quarterback. I have my choice of Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota in this slate.
What? No Bortles? You love Bortles.
I do have Bortles as a choice and Foles as well. I'm putting my money where my mouth is, though, and getting rather large Benjamin to pair up with Le'Veon Bell. It's going to be a PPR day for Le'Veon Bell. He's going to have 9 catches, 89 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns there. To add into is 140-1 on the ground.
Yeah,
it's gonna be easy.
I'm not a fan of what you just did to me there, because I was hoping you'd avoid him. But
why would you even think that was a possibility?
I knew you wouldn't. I think I'm just gonna take Breeze here because I feel confident in the rest of my lineup and don't love the other.
You don't
want
to do Mariota?
I thought about Mariota, but I think Breeze has
that's the high risk.
Dollar
high
bet,
reward,
Mariota scores more Fanball points than Breeze this week.
Oh, fine. All right, I'm doing it now because Brian's at it. Boom.
Oh, well, no, I wanted to bet you. All right.
Fish takes Mariota.
Okay.
This is a very intriguing player pool for 2-4.
Yeah.
Four. So this is fun.
So let's.
I don't want to root for Drew Brees against the Vikings. That's that play there.
Fish, we'll start with you. We'll go around the room and talk about what we got for a roster. Tell us about your roster construction.
I have Mariota, who I'm going to hope for a bunch of garbage time. I have Deion Lewis, who should be good for 15 touches. Thielen, Gronkowski, and then my flexes are Antonio Brown and Jay Ajayi.
Wow. That's amazing.
I like it. I'm going to put this on Twitter and see what people think.
The second pick. I ended up with 3 running backs in my first 4 picks, Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram, and Latavius Murray. Took Julio Jones in the second round as my wide receiver, Zach Ertz in the 5th round as my tight end, and Big Ben as my quarterback. As I said, chucking the ball to Antonio all day long. Not Antonio. Le'Veon.
No.
And Antonio.
Antonio.
There we go.
It's gonna, huge day.
Yeah, whatever.
For my 4th round
gonna,
pick.
Still going to get me points. Brian, you were 3rd.
All right. Quarterback Brady, running back Fournette, wide receiver Cooks, Delaney Walker, and I got Freeman, 1 flex. And I probably shouldn't have shot for the moon like this and stacking in a 4-man contest, but hey, I'm having fun. This is what it's all about. So I'm going Chris Hogan. I'm confident he's going to play and catch a touchdown. Sure, why not?
All right, Mr. Steich.
Well, I succeeded in my goal of being able to watch all my players in one game, so that's good. If it's 34-31, I'm in good shape. I think the Saints look good offensively last week. I think even if the Vikings play well, I think the Saints will find a way to score some points anyway. I don't think the Saints' defense is that good. I think so if the Vikings are clicking, Keenum's going to throw some balls.
So you started with Derrick Henry. He's the only guy not in the Saints-Vikings.
He looked
game
so good
for
last
you.
Week, and I have a very short-term memory.
And then you ended up with Kamara, Diggs, Michael Thomas, Case Keenum, Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, I like getting my quarterback late and getting the tight end with him. I think those are good values.
I have reason to believe that going into the final game of this slate, you will be in last place in this draft.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like a dramatic comeback.
I think it's a pretty safe bet. If he's tied for last
then
place.
Somebody really sucks at this. Probably me.
I'm going to overcome a 90-point deficit here. It's going to be amazing.
All right. If you want to join a Fanball draft, head on over to Fanball right now. We got a whole bunch up in the lobby. When you go to the lobby, there's the salary cap game on one side of the little tab, and there's the draft on the right side of the tab. Click draft. You can get in a sit and go, which means as soon as it fills, you start drafting. or you can get in a scheduled draft, and then you can pop back on your computer later in the day and get to the draft at the right time.
Yeah, join a sit and go. Shoot the link to your buddies. Say join this real quick, and you're off and running. It's a lot of fun. You can play for a buck, three, five, 10, 20,
or free and just try it out.
It's free, but yeah, free's fine.
Scotty Fish has been doing a whole bunch of the free ones online with Twitter followers.
Yeah, if you want to play against me, just tweet me and I'll jump in one with you.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun little deal. So we thank you guys all for listening to Fantasy Football Almost Daily. We will be back again next week for the conference championship slate on Fanball. And yeah, what else? Oh, rate and review our podcast. We need that. iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, wherever you're picking this up, whatever podcatcher you're listening to this on, please go rate and review our podcast. Bump it up. If you're listening to it on iTunes, literally pick up your phone right now, scroll down a little bit on the page, and you can just hit one button to give us 5 stars.
And if you're busy, it'll ask you, Matt will come and do it for you.
That's true. Yeah, tweet me and I'll come over and I'll work your thumbs for you. It'll be good time. So at Explosive Output on Twitter, at BTXJ for Brian Johnson, at ScottFish24. Stike, I forget yours. What's yours?
Matt_Stike.
No, underscore.
Oh, yeah. No.
It was all that was available. I tried 10 different things.
You couldn't get Stike?
A lot of things were taken off the board.
How about like Stike?
I'll check.
Go check.
You can change them, right?
Before I put this
what
up.
What about preemptive Stike?
And that was, you know, invented, and I already had Twitter for that, so I could try it out.
This is fascinating.
Preemptive is hard to spell, though.
Yeah, that's going to confuse people.
Wait, are you supposed to spell out underscore? I'm confused.
Yes.
We'll check you all later. Thank you.